Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets, and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org. Hey everyone, come check.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wild Ritter.
Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative Radio Show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello again, and welcome back to another great episode here of Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna, here on Freedomizer. And I will be going over various New World Order type news over the next 2 hours and 48 minutes. But I am not alone today. We have a couple of guests. In just a few minutes, we will have Guy Felixbrot, who has an interesting world record that we're going to discuss. And then in the third hour, I have Patriot Barbie, a.k.a. Lindsey Graham. Not that Lindsey Graham, but the Patriot Barbie Lindsey Graham will be joining us here. And we can have you as well. You can call in 319-527-6208 and just press lucky number 1, and I will take your call. So right now, as promised, we'll go ahead and bring on one of our esteemed co-hosts. We do have Amanda joining us here. So, Amanda, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here tonight. I'm looking forward to these guests you have. I don't know if I have ever heard of Lindsey Graham's name before, so this will be cool.
Well, I was trying to do something different, and the funny thing was both of them wanted today, and it's like, yeah, the only guests I have scheduled are both on Wednesday this week.
Oh, well, lucky me. I'm so glad I get to be the co-host and learn a lot of things from your excellent guests. You always bring on some amazing people.
All right. So anything you want to share here? We got like a couple minutes before I bring on Guy.
Oh, well, I guess the only thing I really had to bring up at this point is for anyone who watches The High Wire, it's a show, an internet program done by Dale Bigtree. He is going to be interviewing Alex Jones tomorrow. And, of course, Alex Jones is quite controversial, so I'll be sure to tune in to The High Wire tomorrow because I do like to hear from Alex. As much as his voice gets a little bit extra, he's actually an OG, original generation conspiracy theorist or uncovering, calling out conspiracies. So I'm looking forward to that. If anybody wants to listen in, you can get on thehighwire.com tomorrow and his show Utah Time, so Mountain Time. It starts at noon. And, of course, there's always a replay, or you can tune in at any time. It's a live show. So I just wanted to put that out there for anybody who wants to tune in.
All right. So on that note, we also have a meetup that's going to happen on Saturday.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that. I do have a few people lined up.
Well, I'm trying. We'll see what happens. As long as it's not just me and you, I'm happy.
You had enough of just me and you. I get it. No, I think there are some big events going on here in St. George, Utah that day because it's considered Patriots Day. This is Constitution Week. At my school, we've been teaching about the Constitution. And I guess you could say real American history, at least the version of the American history that seems more correct. And then Saturday, there's a pretty decent-sized gathering in St. George. And so one of your fans, or I should say friends, who lives here in St. George is going to represent the booth there for the activist group that she runs, and then she's going to come straight over, and it'll be like 15 minutes after we start.
Okay.
It'll be
so
good.
Last question before we bring in our guest. I have one more just quick question before we bring in our guest. He's waiting to come in. Is there a farmer's market in St. George on Saturdays by any chance?
Yes. Yeah, there are several. There's one that it tends to be probably a little more on the craft side of things, but yes, it's pretty well known. It's the Downtown Farmers Market, and they're at a specific location. I can send you the information. I don't remember exactly. And then there's Fry's Market. They are more in Santa Clara, so that's about 10 minutes out of St. George. That's the one I go to. They have a lot of vegetables and fruits. And then there's one in Hurricane, which is close to me, a.k.a. Hurricane. Don't ask me why they say it Hurricane. But
yeah,
there's one there that goes from 8 to noon, I believe. So, yes, there are several around here.
All right. I was just thinking if I can get there early enough that I wouldn't mind going to a farmer's market. And I wouldn't mind even asking how much booth rentals are so that we can come up and do a Saturday booth at some point.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that downtown market. So the activist group that I referenced, we had a booth there the first weekend, and then they found out we were advocating for vaccine education, and so they kicked us out.
Oh.
Their reasoning was, we don't do educational booths, we just do products. But, whatever.
Then,
they have a lot of...
Then we can go somewhere else. It's not a big deal. If they don't want us, I'm not going to force them to take my money. So...
Right. The one in Hurricane might be a better bet, because it seems like they're more small, and they're more... I would say they're probably a little... So the person who runs the Hurricane one is more like-minded. We'll put it that way.
And then the one in Santa Clara?
Yeah, the one in Santa Clara is it's a year-round market, and they actually don't have any booths. It's just run by this family. And it's more of like an open-air vegetable fruit market, and they do have some local products like, salsa and that sort of thing, but there are no booths. The one in Hurricane is probably the better bet.
All right. And is it busy enough?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially this time of year, it's pretty busy. There's pretty much no parking. And it's right off the main road that you would take to go to, what's down that way, Colorado City. And I think you can get to Zion from that road as well, so it's a pretty well-traveled road.
All right. So speaking of well-traveled, I'm going to bring on our guest here. He has a world record that we're going to discuss here, and he fits in with what we're accomplishing here. We have Guy Felixbrot joining us here, so... Guy, welcome in.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, thank you for thanking me. I just want to make sure, is it Guy or Guy?
No, it's Guy and it's Felix, but most Americans mispronounce it. So.
All right. I wanted to be sensitive to Guy because I've known a few Guys in my life, so... I didn't know which one you wanted.
I'm from Israel. My actual name is Guy, so but it's in Hebrew.
Right.
My mom didn't actually name me a dude, so it's all good.
All right. Sounds good. So I didn't want to tell Amanda ahead of time which world record you have, but since we are doing a Barefoot is Legal meetup on Saturday, I'm thinking that she probably knows it's in relation to something of what we do. So feel free to share.
Yeah. Well, first, thank you for having me. I think Barefoot is Legal is awesome. I stumbled upon it towards my world record, which was I was the first one ever, I think, in recorded human history to have done a full Ironman triathlon barefoot. So everybody does the swim barefoot. There have been quite a few people who do barefoot running around the world, marathons and all.
Yeah.
But I put all together, and I did also the bike ride barefoot and grounded.
Okay.
I have grounding wires there from my pedals. So the swim is 2.4 miles. The bike ride was 112 miles, and you finish it off with a marathon of 26.2 miles. So that happened in late July in Lake Placid, New York.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, okay, I agree with you. That's all.
Yeah. Then what happened was I was traveling there a few weeks before a barefoot, because I've been barefoot for 2.5 years, and this lady was really nasty at me at some grocery store, and that really ticked me off, and I was like, it's no way that this thing is, like, you know, so obnoxious. So I looked on, you know, Facebook, is barefoot legal, whatever, and lo and behold, I find this group called Barefoot is Legal on Facebook. And it was awesome because it gave me so much information, and then I could share it before doing the Ironman itself, which, of course, drew a lot of response worldwide, literally. And I did it to raise awareness to, one, earthing, which I've been doing for 2.5 years, and just going barefoot, which I've done a lot more since joining this group, and also advocating for it and also participating in the group.
Well, I'm glad to see that we're reaching out there. So, in a couple weeks, Barefoot is Legal will be 7 years old.
Oh, amazing! Mazel tov. Yes, 7 years. That's a lot. Yeah, I did the. I've been barefoot. Well, you see, the thing for me, everybody thinks you're crazy, or it's like first they laugh at you, then they try to resist you, and then they accept it. You see, people who knew me as a kid wouldn't realize where I am today because I do this talk, or I'm going to do this talk, from barely breathing with asthma to barefoot Ironman. You see, I've dealt with health issues since I was a kid. I was prone to asthma, then the Western medicine overdosed me and gave me asthma, and then I had a slew of health problems that I overcame with athleticism and awareness and energy work and other stuff. And that's what I do, you know, and people can see what I do at, you know, Instagram or Facebook at The Body MC, spelled out The Body, and then MC like Master of Ceremony. And so when I got, and everything I always found out, I always loved to share, kind of like how this group is doing. And so when I found out about the benefits of earthing and barefooting, you know, I just wanted all the world to know. So what better than trying to set a world record doing it?
Yeah, so they can laugh at you at first, and then you're setting a world record, and then they're asking you how you did it.
Exactly. So the amazing thing about it is, you know, I would tell people knew that I'm barefoot for a while, but when I tell people I'm doing an Ironman, they're like, whoa. And then I said I'm doing it barefoot, and they're like, really? And, you know, the amazing things is regular non-triathletes people and triathletes alike, they were really – you know, puzzled. And when I told them, I said, look, you're generating as athletes all these watts, literally it's measured in watts in power unit when you bike, and then you're insulated. Where does it go? And they're like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, it's going right back to your muscles. So, you know, you're improving your fitness and destroying your muscles, and you have injuries and all the rest of it, let alone that runners have a serious Achilles heel problem, tendons, you know, ankle. And as you and I know, after you start going barefoot, kind of like, you know, Neo after the Matrix, oh, why do my eye hurt? Well, you've never used them before. So in the beginning, you know, your ankles hurt, but now, you know, my ankles are strong and they support my foot. They're not my weakest point there. So everybody were really fascinated, even during the Ironman itself, you know, especially on the bike, but also on the run. People asked me questions. People wanted to know more. Told them, look, I don't recommend you do it right away, like now at the Ironman, but I do recommend that after you stop, you know, the race, or when you finish it, just take off your shoes and never buy new running shoes ever, like, you know, like written in Born to Run, which was the culminating thing for me between Born to Run and Earthing, the movie, the book, you know, the product, whatever. And I have a lot. You know, I have a lot of smart people ask me a lot of smart questions. I could answer all of them, most of them. And they are trying it. You know, they said, okay, I'll start running in the park, or I'll start running on the beach barefoot, you know.
The funniest thing, is that people that laughed at you for doing it, and you beat them in the race.
Yeah, no, I did. You know, the thing is, not only did I do it, you know, it's amazing when you do extreme, quote-unquote, things, even though for me it's a years-long process with triathlon, 7 years with barefooting, you know, since my teams in Israel and then on and off, and then 2.5 last years. You know, when I did it, I not only did it, but I did it in under 17 hours, which is like the official time, and I got it done. And people go like, wow, you did an Ironman and you did it barefoot. And then I made sure to get interviewed to every newspaper who would hear about me and podcast and whatever to highlight both things, you know, the earthing and its immense benefits to the human body and the legal rights of barefoot. And I can't tell you how many times I quoted to newspapers and people alike about the triple NS, no shirt, no shoes, no service, and its racist origin, which I didn't know myself till a couple of months ago, and about that there's no health code and anything, you know. And the funniest thing, one of the podcast technicians, which I did, he said, yeah, what do you go into a grocery and you're going to, like, pick the food with your, like, the cucumbers with your toes? I said, yeah, of course not. And he was, of course, you know, being sarcastic. And he said, and another great point he had, it was, who knows what's on people's shoes, you know? Does anybody ever wash the soles of their shoes?
Well, my
question
would be that if, and we learned this during the days of COVID, and Amanda, I'll let you jump in here in a second. I don't want to let you stay on the sidelines there. But everybody was so focused on people wearing scams on their face, and some people even wore gloves. And it's funny that people say, I'm not going to wear gloves to the store, but you see them with their hands picking out cucumbers and tomatoes and apples, and they're going to be mad that you're not wearing flip-flops for some reason.
Yeah, just so you know, in Hungary was the only place in the world I traveled where you go to a green grocer or anything, they pick it for you. And I was like, wow, I want to pick my own. And she was like, no, I don't let anybody touch my vegetables. So as irritated as I was about it, she was like, look, you know, I don't know where your hands were. So, and nobody says anything about it. So it was amazing as I started to say before, doing something quote unquote extreme, but it's extreme to people, how people really divide in two. Also, when I juggled throughout the half marathon on the half Ironman world record, it was the same phenomenon. People either were like, wow, that's amazing. Tell me more. Why do you do this? So inspiring. Or people were just like belittling me, like, oh, you forgot your shoes. Where are your shoes? Do you need me to lend you your shoes, you know, and stupid stuff like that.
You sound like me because that's how I talk. That's funny.
Yeah. I you know, was amazing because people, and I've done it since my early 20s when I changed my diet, and I said, why are people on my case? And someone told me, well, when you do something different or let alone extraordinary, people will either want to try and learn or they'll try and put you down. You know, so to bring them back.
Oh, yeah, because they have to make themselves better than you. So it's like everyone turns into a five-year-old.
Them stupid.
That's how they act. It's like they turned into a kindergartner.
Yeah, and they, you know, it's easy. I'm actually enjoying this crazy label, honestly, because then people leave me alone. And it's amazing. I was thinking about the show because I'm in South Dakota as we speak. I'm doing Around America barefoot. And I'm hoping to get guys at some point as I, you know, go west and then south and then back east. And it's amazing context, you know. If someone's at the beach or at the park, no one tells you anything about your shoes. God forbid you step into a grocery store, let alone, you know, a restaurant. You know, you're like crazy, but people see me hiking barefoot, and their first reaction is like, wow, but then they're like, oh, hardcore, or I call it bearcore, and it's like, but I'm the same man when I step into a gas station or a grocery store. I didn't change my feet, just change the scenery. It's like, And that's why I do all this stuff, and that's for me, Freedomizerator is awesome, because it's not really about barefoot, is it? It's about my show,
it's about personal freedoms of, well, it's about all kinds of freedom, medical freedom, health freedom, freedom from Big Brother, personal freedoms. That's what I do here. So it's not necessarily a political show, but it's freedom oriented. So Amanda, I do want you to jump in.
Oh, I've just been listening, and I do remember reading your story on the Barefoot is Legal group, and I'm pretty sure I commented. It is very unusual to hear of someone doing something as epic as an Ironman barefoot, because, I mean, honestly, yes, you're going to take your shoes off when you're swimming or whatever, but there aren't very many people who can say that they will run on any terrain with no shoes. It's very, very impressive, and I applaud you.
He's a world record holder too now, so there's that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely am a barefoot person myself, but I haven't gotten to the point where I, you know, do the jagged rocks or the really hot surfaces yet. So I am impressed, and I was just curious. I mean, you mentioned that there were some people, say, like when you went to the farmer's market there and the woman said not to touch her vegetables, that she would do that for you. And what do you find that the reception is when it comes to things like, say, spreading germs or just being dirty in general? Because I'm a person who's not afraid of germs. I actually believe in being one with your environment and the terrain. So what have you learned about that over the years?
Well, the only person I ever met or place I ever met was a greengrocer in Hungary. Otherwise, you know, you touch fruit wherever. Actually, I learned, speaking of germs, having a proneness to dust mite allergy, which, like in Israel where I'm from, is like a death sentence because dust everywhere. I researched a lot, and I found a lot of researchers that said that, like, in Finland or other northern places where they tried to, like, bubble the children, you know, don't go outside and don't play with this and clean your hands, they actually got a lot more diseases, and their immune system was weaker. So, and then when they learned this, they stopped, and the kids played in the playground, got themselves dirty, you know, all the rest of it. And lo and behold, they got less sick because the system was so sterile that it couldn't handle it. And back to the feet, and then I'll talk about freedom in general. It's like in these athletic things and everything else, actually the biggest enemy of the foot is fungi. And that happens in wet environments. Wet environments, shocking, happens with wet socks and wet shoes. My feet get dry immediately, even when I ran, let alone when I bike, because the toes are skin and it gets dry. But when you don't know the environment and get yourself wet, also all the worries, oh, my shoes are going to get wet, oh, my socks are going to get wet, and it's like, who cares? I don't have shoes. I don't have socks. I don't have any problems anymore, you know? And I'm not prone to be, and I say, my feet might be dirty and I wash them, but they're never stinky, you know?
Right.
So,
no, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much. I teach kindergarten, and so today we actually had a very similar discussion about, we just had some rain and the children wanted to go jump in puddles. And of course we have this discussion of, well, you have to have bare feet to jump in those puddles, because otherwise you're walking around in wet shoes and wet socks. And isn't that interesting? I appreciate that you shared that.
Yeah, no, for sure. For me, I always went on rain dances with my daughter. By the way, the best rain dance is when it's pouring rain and you can stand, if you have, on a downhill, and then the water pours on your feet and on your head. Just get a towel as you enter. That's my only tip about it. And I was thinking about it, that I really want us to hold a puddle jumping competition with bare feet. And you can do it with your kids. I was a preschool teacher. I'll get to it in a moment. And it's like, you know, you can measure the splash and, like, the jump in. I mean, when as adults do we do that? It's so, oh, there's a puddle, I need to go around it, or I get wet. Like, we lose all the fun. Why? is there like an age limit to fun? You know, like when I did the Ironman, I ran through the puddles. I ran through the water. I was great. I took the water at the bike aid stations and poured them over my muscles to cool them down in my feet. And it was awesome. And by the way, I did better. I wasn't aching at all because I cooled my muscle and I irked. People take a week to recover. With earthing, it took me 24 hours to recover my feet and 48 hours all my muscles. The only muscle that took me longer was my brain because of all the pressure I got from the world about it. But I got there too. And speaking of freedom, you know, I co-founded a preschool that became a good school. And let me tell you, you know, the dumbing us down, John Taylor Gatto, and the slavery system of the education in this country, which is not unique to the U.S., yeah, is mind-blowing. National extension line. So for me, I always sought freedom for myself, for the kids I worked with, and all around. It's like out of this day, live and let live. But as someone once told me, live, let live first. You have to live. If you don't live first, how are you going to let anybody let live, you know? So, yeah.
Love that. Say that again. Live first.
Yeah, you got to live, live and let live. You got to live first. The sentence begins with live. Doesn't begin with
well,
live.
Well, everybody else can have their personal freedom on how they want to live. So why is it that we're not allowed to? Everybody can have green hair and have all these tattoos and facial piercings, and men can wear dresses now. And but everybody can laugh at you if you don't have something on the bottom of your foot that's as thick as a piece of paper held on by a rubber band.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of it, you know, the funny thing, I was in Israel and I was in the South for work, and I saw this guy, this Bedouin guy, come in with barefoot, and I was like, ooh, you know. And it's because we're so conditioned that it's dirty. Even though I'm a barefooter, it's like it grabs my brain. Like, look at you, and you even go barefoot. We just like, you know, like not eating with our hands, even though there's taste bud connection between the fingers and the mouth. You know, all these things are considered dirty, and maybe once was before we knew this thing called hygiene. They're just so embedded in our culture as an against thing. But if you really break it down, you go like, but it makes no sense. And that's what I love to do most, is mess with people's heads, mostly mine and then everybody else. And I enjoy it thoroughly. Yeah. So the
but
whole freedom
mind. But there's a way that we could win, Guy. It's,
sorry?
Like I was saying on the on our group, is that Facebook is sponsoring us now. I don't know if you know that.
Oh,
so notice in the group, I've been actively promoting the business page because that's how they're sponsoring us. They're paying us to utilize the business page. So if we get more people that hit the like button for the group as well as each post, if people comment, if people share, all that gets included into their sabermetrics, and then they figure out how much we're worth.
So, oh, amazing. So I think that, you know, calls to action are very good and should happen often. You know, people join like you do periodically and whatever and say, you know, help free more people. It should always be like a call to action, like free more people.
Right.
Simply sharing and just say big news, you know, Facebook is now sponsoring us. How can you, you know, in capitals help? Is, you know, go to the business page, tell more people to like it, share it to your friends, share it on your page. And, you know, I always and say tag the page because I always tag the page in whatever I do. Then it's easy. It's the click of a button. I don't need to give you $50 million, you know. Maybe Facebook
so,
will do
yeah,
it. So,
yeah, they've offered to pay us up to $30,000 a month. And when I talked to them on the phone before we signed up, we had 1 week, Guy, back in 2018, I believe it was, where we had two different posts that went mega stupid viral at the same time, including one. I made this meme in front of our group. We had our annual board meeting in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I showed people how I do memes. And we had one meme that was going crazy before I left town, and I made a different meme right in front of everybody. And the guy we stayed with, he had a boat. Everybody was going to go on his boat. It sat like 30. And within an hour, the meme I just showed everybody how to do got a million hits in traffic in 1 hour. So
wow.
I stayed behind and just tried to handle everything. And there was so many interview requests, and it got so big that it made it onto a bunch of mainstream news, like 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock newses, and magazines
uh-huh.
were wanting to interview me. And that is
yep.
our biggest meme to date. It's received about 48 million hits just on Facebook. Forget Twitter.
Yeah, no, amazing. I think that's worthwhile. You know, I'm in this group. I was in the Navy in Israel, and the group was smaller a year ago or two. And now they regurgitate or recycle a lot of the things because more people are around. I think it would be amazing to do, I don't know, once a week, once every other week, to bring up stuff from the past and just say, are there meme creators? You know, I can see a meme of like, did you know it's safer to drive barefoot, or just like a barefoot foot out the window?
I rotate around. I have original stuff I post as well as news stories and other tips, and then I'll mix in some memes. Some are mine, and some are just I might have shared it three other times this year. I don't care. Whatever brings people in.
Yeah, for sure. I think that just the call to action to tell people, please invite more people, please tag us, please share. You know, we'll literally get money for it from Facebook to allow us to, you know, petition to more towns, to free more people, to advertise on Facebook, and, you know, and all the rest of it. Because a lot of people, for me, more than anything, just, you know, it's uncomfortable now. She's never been comfortable because my left foot's slightly bigger, which is why I got into triathlon. And then it hurt me because my left foot was bigger and the bike shoes were a nightmare. So when I went for the world record, I was like, well, I really can't. The reason was that I really couldn't wear shoes anymore. If I wear shoes to the dog shelter I went to, not to step in dog and pee and poop, and I would run with them, I'd fall. That's why I started to run without shoes as well. And then the bike was like, okay, if I don't run with shoes and I don't swim with shoes, why the hell would I want to bike with shoes? And so that's how it all happened. And I'd say that it's really important that people know what they can do, and gathering, because it's so important. And I told you, I really want us to do a barefoot flash mob, especially in a nasty store where someone comes in, gets all the brunt of it, and like by timing, 30 seconds later, another person comes in, and then they're busy with him or her, and then 30 seconds, another, and another, and they're like,
yeah.
Oh, my God! So, yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. That would just be a lot of fun, and it needs to be filmed right and just, like, whatever, but yeah, it would just make a stupid institution look stupider, because, you know,
Yeah. There's
only so people they can chase.
Yeah, one of my things is I would love to see like 75 or 80 people go into a store and everybody have $100 in their pocket. I'm not saying you have to spend $100, but it's groceries. You're going to buy it anyway. And and just fill your cart up and let them do all the go-backs. If they want to complain that much, then they could spend 2 hours putting all the stuff back on the shelves. And then we can all make complaints one by one.
Yeah. No, I think for sure, like, if I wasn't traveling around, I definitely would bring it up with, like, the Stewart Network in Stewart Shops Network in New York, where, okay, they have a sign saying, you know, don't let dogs in. I can understand dog can be a health issue. Not really, but let's assume it is. And then they also have a no barefoot thing, and you know, the claim to fame to a lot of these business Cracker and Barrel and all the other nonsense talking ones is like, if we break something, then you can get hurt and you can sue us. I said to them, do you break things often? And they're like, no. I said, and if you break something, don't you clean it? They're like, yeah. And I said, and do you think that I wouldn't know where to walk? And like, yeah, you would. And I said, and why would I want to sue you? They're like, you make four different wrong assumptions, and yet that's your policy. And managers look at me like with sheepish eyes, like we can't do anything, you know. But
see, something else I've used also is, do you ever notice that in the frozen food sections, they put pinatas up over it and some of the other heavy items like trash cans? And if that falls on your head, if you wear a sun visor, are you protected?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was escorted out of the fresh produce department because I was a health hazard. Luckily, I was done. Well, I then later went back for the avocados. But, yeah, it was ridiculous. And the guy, I felt for him. You know, I really did, because I try to do things in nonviolent communication, you know, which is another thing to do.
See,
with freedom.
I like to share this story, and I don't know if you heard this before from me, Amanda, and feel free to jump in after. But I got started when I went into a Baskin-Robbins once, and the manager said he couldn't serve me, and I asked why. And this was before the Internet. And he said, well, there might be glass on the ground. So I looked at him in the face, and I said, well, what glass are you selling inside your ice cream here at Baskin-Robbins? And he said, we don't sell anything with glass, but a gang member can shoot up all the windows and do a drive-by. So how are you going to get out? We're worried about your safety.
Wow.
I've never heard that one before.
That is rich.
Well, most Americans think that people only have one body part.
Yep. Yep.
They should probably take an anatomy class at their local community college, and they can find out that most Americans do, in fact, have more than just one body part.
Yeah. Yeah, and Amanda, you know, it's amazing. I guess you see it already by kindergarten. I used to see it in preschool, just how inhibited the kids already are. You know, they're forced to put on shoes, education, food, sleep, you know, all these different things. And it's so sad to see them already so inhibited at that age, let alone, you know, 10, 20, and 30 years later.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know my students would love to be barefoot. Well, I shouldn't say all of them, but most of my students have asked me if they can just take their shoes off, and they want to be barefoot. I was like that at their age as well. You'd always find me with my shoes off. I have my youngest grandson is exactly the same way, always taking his shoes off everywhere, all the time. Just can't keep that kid in shoes and socks because it's uncomfortable and it's not natural.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, the whole industry works against, like, I really want to pose the question, you know, everybody's like, what's wrong with barefoot? I really want to ask, what's good with barefoot? I really want to flip the question and go, like, what's good with shoes? Okay, so there's fashion, sometimes there's safety, sometimes there's walking, but put those aside. What are shoes good for? Like, really? They stress your toes, they sink your toes, they cancel your ankle. There's so many things that shoes do, and now they're also insulated in the last 50 or 60 years, as was put in Born to Run, you know, so you're like electronically insulated. And I see people, I'm like, take off those shoes, you know, especially like at the beach or a park or, you know, whatever. I really find, at least hiking, and I hiked the Badlands today, which, yeah, was a little extreme, especially when I even walked on cacti, but I survived. I can feel the land. I, like, recognize a moss that was dried up because my feet know how to recognize a moss. And, you know, especially Amanda, you know, you work with kids, that they don't almost ever, by kindergarten, use their sense of touch anymore. which is so primal when you're, you know, orally learning, all the rest of it. And it's like my sense of time so much reengaged since going barefoot that that's why I don't want to go back. I gained another sense in full, especially in the Western culture where we don't touch, and especially after COVID, that God forbid we touch, you know? So, yeah.
That is such a great insight. I never thought of that. My mind is just a little blown right now, so thank you.
No, so here, let me blow it up a little more for you. So if we think about our five senses, and I did it mathematically because I really like our senses, mathematics and the senses. So I don't know if you know, but we use about 70% of our impressions come in from our eyes. It means the other 30% get divvied up between the other four. We almost have no sense of touch. We disregard our sense of smell. We taste, maybe, and that's about it. So, and our sense of hearing is also diminished. So I thought, oh my God, by doing my, so we're at about 50% capacity at our senses max. But my sense of touch is now maybe now quadrupled, it's not potential, but 10 times, which allows me to listen better because I got to see where I'm walking. So I'm also listening to see if cars are coming or people or whatever. I smell a lot more because my body's connected to the ground and everything else is engaged. So even if we just increase all of our senses by 5 to 10%, we've increased our sensual capacity by anywhere from 10 to 20%. You know, like how Einstein said we use 10% of our brain or others. Imagine you can increase the capacity by 10%. That's huge, let alone 20. So when I work with kids and I work with everybody, and that's part of my business, Body and Sea and everything else, and the health consulting and everything else, I'm like, you can be a superhuman just by using your senses more. You know, you don't need to be telepathic, don't need to be a medium, don't need to be Superman. You can just increase your senses. Sense of touch first, sense of hearing, sense of smelling, sense of taste. Yeah, your eyesight too is awesome. So yeah.
Fascinating.
Actually, there is a, I don't know if anybody knows or not, but there is a way that you can work your eyesight back into better health. I was at minus 425 at one point. Now, the glasses I have now are minus 250, and they're too strong for me.
Wow.
So there are eye exercises, because if you don't use your eye muscles, they get weak. And when you put on a pair of glasses, you never move your eyes. They just stay focused in one spot, and you're not rotating your eye muscles at all. So you're not using them.
Yep. We use a whole lot of crutches, shoes, eyeglasses, different footwear, different clothes wear, you name it. We use it for the sake of comfortability, and we ruin our abilities to use this amazing machine called the human body and this amazing invention unique to the human body, which is the foot, you know, but it's all these crutches that are going to help us, and they destroy our lives, and then we become sick, and then we go like, oh my God, I'm sick. What happened? Well, let me tell you. So, yeah, for sure.
So, Amanda, I got your message there. Are you able to find out whether it's calling or looking on their website to see how much it costs to rent a booth, and we'll try to figure it out?
Yeah, I'll ask the organizer. I just found
it.
Of course, it came up as an ad on Facebook because I mentioned it to you, so of course it came up.
Oh.
So that's why I tagged you, and it's a sponsored ad. And so I will contact the organizer and see what I can find out.
Okay.
Yeah, I think getting the word out there is really important because people don't know. The first thing I always tell people is it's a highly anti-inflammatory tool. So people already, they got my attention. I got their attention. And then so I say that's why people like gardening or walking in the park or on the beach. It's like I would approach it a lot on the health front and then on the freedom front too. You know, it's like you're free to do what you want. And I think the next big thing to tackle is restaurants because they're really adamant in restaurants, and that's a fight I've never won. Well, except one when I was already in. She didn't want to kick me out because they're really adamant. Think of New Hampshire, the live free or die, but I just learned you don't even have to put on seatbelts on top of not needing to, in the car, needing to put a bike helmet, which is a lot of the northern states. Even them, I was like, live free or die. They're like, yeah, well, live free or die on the highway, but not when you go into a restaurant. So that's definitely a very...
And that is one of the reasons why I always try to make sure that when we do meetups, it is in a restaurant, because we can show pictures of ourselves at meetings in various restaurants. And if one place has an issue and refuses us, then that's okay, because 28 others will stand in line and take a couple $100 for serving us.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that is another not so radical but very useful tool, is for people locally to start writing bad reviews, excuse me, for businesses that don't allow it. And there, and you can, and I, if I stayed local, I'm just going everywhere, I would say, look, you're violating my rights, and we have two options here. Either you let me do it, or you don't, and then I bad name you on Facebook, on social media, on Google reviews, and you never see my business, and I can possibly take a lawsuit on you too. What do you prefer? You know, and I really think we need to start taking that line. It's like, you know, don't mess with my rights. Like, you have no ground to stand on, and you're discriminating.
Well, the thing is, Guy, is that nobody ever stood up for us before. There has been other groups and things like that, but nobody that was focused on organizing and getting rights. It was just always, hey, I'll do it, and if somebody yells at me, I'll just run back home and put on something that might qualify, and then I'll go back to the store and I'll apologize. That's like, no.
Yeah, no, for sure. Since meeting the group, I was like, fuck, putting my sandals, which are fully grounded and only made out of leather, into the store. I just leave them in the car, and I just go in. And, you know, Home Depot, this lady yelled at me, oh, you know, it's dangerous. I said, well, I did a whole Iron Man barefoot. I think I can handle Home Depot. So, you know, it's like, I can do this. This is, I think, the essence of this group and this essence of all the Freedomizer Radio and everything else. It's like, this is my life. This is my responsibility. This is my body, not yours, not your responsibility.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive here that most people don't know that we're an official nonprofit, because if more people found out, then the situation changes. It goes from, you're just some weird yahoo into, oh, I didn't know there was a nonprofit for people like that. Everything we can do to professionalize what we have going on makes us better.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's another highlight. I already donated, and we discussed that I donated and want to become a member. I think people should know, especially towards end of tax season, you know, end of the calendar year, that they can make a tax deductible donation to Barefoot is Legal, which is a nonprofit, to strengthen all these efforts that are being done. And I also want to connect with this California official trying to get elected, who's Barefoot, and you know, support her I did.
That's the vice president of our organization, so that's a him.
Him. Well, even that, even great. So I want to just go and support him. Maybe he'll connect me to him. And when I'm in California, I want to, like, do a press release and say, you know, I did a whole Ironman barefoot. I think we can go into, like, Walmart or Home Depot or some restaurants barefoot. You know, there's no legality issues there, and there's definitely no health issues.
Right.
So, yeah.
But that's the thing. If people find out that the nonprofit exists, and that starts with not just me, because I'm the CEO and or the president, and yeah. and I can make things happen. But it doesn't start and end with me. It's everybody. If you want this as a movement, then you have to share and like. And you brought up donating money, but the best thing that you can do is use our business page and share stuff out, because Facebook will pay us.
Yeah, no, amazing, for sure. I think that's amazing. And I think that from my nonprofit experience of founding nonprofits, closing them, whatever, first and foremost, it's the board. You know, the vice president, the president, the secretary, all the board members, and then everything else is to get it out. Because if it's on one person, it's only limited to one. But if everybody shares and their friends shares and everybody else who listens to this or on the page are doing that, then yeah, even Facebook will pay. You know, I think there's all kinds of fun stuff we can work with.
And then,
you know.
And then if anybody uses Amazon, we have what's called Amazon Smile. So if you go to smile.amazon.com and you can pick your favorite charity, which we're hoping is Barefoot is Legal. And whenever you make a purchase, we get Amazon donates to us. And
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
sure.
like we make a lot. We might make like $40 to $60 a quarter. But if that's $200-something dollars a year, that pays for postage and some other stuff.
Yeah, it's $40 or $60 more than nothing, so for sure.
Yeah.
I think the essence is like that, you know, people can share their life-changing stories, and then I think every time people do that, I think it's really, it behooves the boarders and everybody else to say, please share it with the bigger public. Please share it with your friends. Please say there's a nonprofit. Just like copy-paste every time. Please say there's a nonprofit that supported you to do that. And by the time people see it again and again and again, they're like, they'll get it, because it's just, you know, repetition. Repetition is key.
Yeah, I say a lot of times, too, it's consistency with putting out your message on a regular basis, because if people see it on a regular basis, it'll sink in, and people will go from arguing with you to at least, all right, I'm not going to argue with them because I'm not going to be able to change their mind, which – at the end of the day, that's as much as I can ask for.
No, for sure. And I think another idea that came to me just now is, you know, connecting to the religious groups. Like, I believe the Sikhs don't wear shoes, or are there groups, you know, and it's like, tell them there's a nonprofit that can support them and support their rights and bring it more than the religious rights, than just the legal and everything else. It's a very powerful alliance.
Right, so it's a matter of trying to tap into some of those markets, and I just think that if we can get enough people, and it doesn't have to be a lot, I think I mentioned to the group, even if we only had 5%, which is like 2,000, what is it? I forget how many it was offhand, but if just 5% just shared what it is that we do on a regular basis, that would be enough to make things happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the group has now, what, 25,000?
Yes, and the business page has 106,000.
Yeah, so, I mean, 106,000, 5%, it's like, you know, 5,000 people. So, Barefoot is Legal, 25, so even 20,000 people, it's 1,000 people. So that's like, it's not a little, but it's not a lot, you know, well, 5%. So I think that all those who share a lot and do a lot, it's like, well, make sure you share. And that's why I started to share on my own page the videos. And I always tag Barefoot is Legal. And I go and bringing it out to the public to say, I'm bringing out the benefits of grounding and earthing and our legal to do that.
So I don't tell people what to do, Guy, but I'm one of those people that I'm not going to join 62 groups about the same thing. I believe in finding one good home, which is the best, and promoting it. And our business page, or even the group, you could take every other niche market of what we have, people that wanted to start their own groups because they don't like how I run things. Just our group outnumbers all of them combined. Yeah. Never mind the business page. So there's a reason why we're number one, and it's not because I'm stupid, which a lot of people remind me I am on a regular basis.
Well, of course, we all are. But it's like, I think that the idea is that what I found works in nonprofit and works in groups is like share, if you care, sharing, caring. That's why I did all these people like, oh, how is it to be famous? And I was like, I could care less. I don't really care, and I'm not famous, by the way. But I share the goods.
For me, it's never whether it's Freedomizer, Barefoot is Legal, it don't matter. It's not about me. It's about the message.
Exactly, yeah. It's about health. It's about freedom. It's about improving things all around. And it's like people are like, well, good for you. I said, no, it's good for us. It behooves us to share this stuff. I mean, I know what Barefoot has done for my life in terms of sleep and well-being and calmness and connection to the ground and developing my senses. Amanda, if you want, I have an exercise you can do with people, how to like blow your mind with the senses. And it actually starts with the feet, or actually all your senses almost shut down, but you got to sit. So to some extent,
uh-huh.
And then you introduce all the senses, like you introduce the feet, then you introduce the mouth, and then the nose, and then the ears, and finally the eyes. You like got them all out. I can listen to you. And it's mind blowing. I wouldn't tell the kids this word, but it's actually orgasmic because your reason is your brain all of a sudden gets so much sensual information from the senses that it blows it apart from what it's usually used to. Because we work on like 15th percentile, 20, and you increase to 30 or 40 or 50. And you go like, oh my, when I hike sometimes or when I do all this stuff, I cry. It's just so much to stand barefoot and hear nature and smell the flower or whatever. My daughter made fun of me. I was once inside a tomato bush. So I tasted the tomatoes, I stood on the ground and smelled it and touched it and saw it. And I was like, oh my God. It was just too much. It was so amazing.
So what's your schedule looking like over the next few weeks? Where are you going?
I'm in Badlands tonight still. It's quite a wild place here. And I want to tell you, it was so cool. I was in South Dakota in the Lakota Cultural Centers, and even the natives are starting a thing called Walk the Mock, like Walk the Moccasin. I told them, yeah, for sure, guys, you should do it. It's not just for barefoot. Anyway, and then I'm heading northwest, like a squint into Nebraska, and then Montana and Washington and Idaho, and the idea is to go south from there, not to go south in going south, but to travel south. I learned not to go south from there. And then go back east, and I want to, do Utah.
Amanda's in southern Utah, and I'll be driving out to go visit with her again this weekend.
Southwest corner, yeah, and then you and I spoke about possibly, Houston Texas.
Yeah, I think we were saying before, if we have 700-800 members within an hour of Houston, why are we not having meetups?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's really good. I think maybe a first stab at it is Zoom, just because people are used to it and seeing whatever. And it's like, yeah, let's meet up. Let's go to a fair. Let's go to a restaurant. Let's do this. But maybe the first stab at it is, yeah, let's just do Zoom and discuss, like, different stores and whatever. And they can really, people in the Houston area, they can, for example, really target certain stores, or if you're in southwest Utah, you can do the same, You can go, like, all these people are writing bad reviews one after another on Google. Businesses are not going to like that, because what drives
right,
is.
You can't put in that you weren't wearing shoes. You just have to say things like they were rude or the waitress was constantly yelling or whatever it is.
No, you could say you were discriminated based on false facts.
There are certain words that you could say and some that you can't because I've learned on Yelp after I put some of those in, they can challenge it and they'll be able to have Yelp remove it.
Yeah, it's fine, but on Google, you see, it's really easy to put a review. And if you put one review after another, it's mm-hmm. just Sisyphean work for them to stop the flood. And you do it in a strategic way that you don't do all of them in one day. You do one a week and then another and then another. And the ratings drop and people go like, and the Google always shows always what's most recent. And that hurts. Not that I want to put people in pain, but I don't want people to tell me what to do for false reasons either.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I understand. So, is there any website that you want to promote? Obviously, we have barefootislegal.org, but...
I think for me, if people want to follow my shenanigans and get hopefully inspired or whatever, it's my Instagram and Facebook at the moment. It's TheBodyMC, TheBody. And then M and then C, I mean the letters for Master of Ceremony, because that's the name of my business and my promotion. It's like, be the Master of Ceremony of your own body. You decide, you know. So, and if people want to write and maybe meet up along my way across America, and it's fun, you know. It's like, and I post, you know, barefoot pictures over canyons and restaurants and, you know, whatever. It's like, I don't think everybody needs to do that. Not everybody needs to do a whole Ironman barefoot. But it's like, you can bike barefoot. It's so much fun. It's just like being a little kid. You can run barefoot. Okay, maybe not in the Badlands, but maybe, you know, in the park or in the beach. And you can get into stores and you can do all this stuff and you're fine. You're more than fine. You're free. So, yeah, I mean, I took a lot of...
The only thing about this is that we have 60 years basically of social stigma that we have to end. And if we can do that, then every other argument is invalid. We just have to prove that we want this. And if we can show that we want it enough, then we'll win. If we don't want it, if everybody's just waiting on a few people to do it, then it's not going to happen.
No, for sure, and I think it's a lot more than 60 years because the Triple NS, you know, and all that was a very deeply racist thing against people and poor people and Asian people and anybody else from a different culture. So really, I think the biggest fight that's always against freedom is freedom itself. You know, it's like, because if I am free, you can't tell me what to do. If you can't tell me what to do, you cannot control me. And if you cannot control me, you don't have power over me, and a lot of things will end the day that ends. So that's why I'm also a lot into nonviolent communication, because our language is so based in it and everything else, because my freedom is my freedom. I don't need to be nasty about it. I don't need to be obnoxious, let alone violent, but it is my freedom. So, yeah. Absolutely. And if I do it through my feet, be it. Who cares? I'll do it through my nose. Who cares? You know, it's like, yeah. And I think that that's, and I, you know, I just want to say again, thank you. I think this work is so important because it's really not about the feet, is it? It's about your rights, about your health, it's about your freedom, and it's about your expression, be it what it may, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I've tried my best to make things happen, and I'm just happy that we've been successful for 7 years.
Yeah, no, for sure it's a huge achievement, and the Facebook backing and finding about it and seeing, you know, when I did research, all the things that are together. I think it's just time to, as the seeds have been sown and watered for so long that some people continue watering them, other trees from. You know, I tried to take it as far as I could in the last couple of months and always mentioning it and taking it as far as I could and using my world towards that end. I could care less than how many here telling me. But my I spoke about in the last interview with the newspaper relating to the African-American community, the Latin-American community. I said, you know, the fact that you're poor, you don't have shoes, might be a good thing for you, not that you're poor, God forbid, but, you know, that you're free that way. So many things are better that way.
You know what's funny, racist, though, is that you have people that laugh at you because you don't have the latest $300 Nike Air whatevers. And
yeah,
and those are the people that are buying all the expensive clothes, and they live in an apartment. Meanwhile, I have a house that's almost paid off. That's a 5-bedroom house.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, in the Iron Man, because people are like, oh, you're barefoot, whatever. I said, well, you know, Iron Man, and they're notorious for that being an expensive competition. I said, how do you think I could afford Iron Man? I stopped buying shoes and I sold the shoes I had. So, I mean, I don't think about shoes. I don't think about buying them. I have a few pairs for the winter and whatever. And then it just freed me in terms of clothing, in terms of so many things in the consumerism culture. Then I'm like, you can't buy me, and you can't sell me, and you can't anything, because I don't need you. I'm free. So, yeah, it goes far and deep. Amanda, isn't it amazing when you already see the limitations and you see how much you want to work with a little kid through their parents, I mean?
Absolutely. So true. And I was going to ask you, you've mentioned nonviolence a few times since we've been on the call, and I was curious,
yeah,
just out of curiosity, that reference means a lot to me. Do you also subscribe or ascribe to the ahimsa lifestyle, nonviolence in the yamas and niyamas?
I don't know about those. I learned a lot. And
okay.
A lot of podcasts, YouTubes from Marshall Rosenberg, the founder of nonviolence.
Oh.
Or in Hebrew, it's translated into bringing people together or communicate. I highly recommend listening to him. He's a sweet radical. He did things very sweetly, but very powerfully. With those, like, it's not that if I'm nonviolent, they walk all over me. I still have my voice. I still have my power. I just don't use violence to get it. So
right.
I highly recommend it. I learned about it for years, and I also involved another company called Compassion Prison Project to work a lot in that. I highly recommend it. It would revolutionize the way you run your classroom, not already, and the way the children speak. The only caveat I'd say is that parents get all weird because all of a sudden the kids say, well, what I'm hearing you say or what you're really telling me.
Yeah.
And then the parents like freak out because kids are so advanced, and all the guilt, shame, and all the other tricks just don't work. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
and
you. That's what I was curious.
Yeah, it all connects for me because it's like the live. It's about the freedom. If I want to be free, I cannot take you. You know, and I'm in the land, the Dakotas really messed with me. I think they would mess with me as much about the grandeur of the natives that used to live here, the complete atrocity that was done to them, you know, obliterating culture, massacre, you know, holocaust of people and culture. I'm Jewish, so it's like holocaust. And, you know, they were free people. Yeah, they have their own faults and problems, towards any level. They're connected to the ground. They're relate to this land was obliterated. What did we get instead? Honestly, what did we get instead? Capitalist system that eats up everything create strip malls and strip people out of their actual freedom, rights, and connections. So, not such a great break after all.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I was curious. I appreciate the advice.
Yeah. You can connect afterwards. I also teach your trainings. I do all kinds of stuff. And, there's a lot.
It sounds like you want me to set you guys up to be friends on Spybook.
Sure.
Yeah.
That would be great. I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah. I think there's a lot that if you dig deep, you go like, you can be free, but you can free,
mm-hmm.
but you need to be rich. You can be free, but you need to have the means. You can be free, but you need to be white. And I'm just like, I like my butt, but I don't like all the other butts. So of these cases, but like, no, equality and freedom for all, you know. If you're white, whatever other skin color you got, if you got deep pockets or not, I don't care. You're human. And, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take my commercial break, and I'll let you go ahead and handle whatever it is in Badlands that you do.
All right, thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you both very much. Keep the torch, keep holding the torch and keep it alive, the fire. And I'll try and help as much as I can.
All right, and then, yeah, we'd like to have you back on the show again sometime, my show and the BIL show.
Awesome. All right. Would love to.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and take a timeout. We still have a Broccoli Man for this week to cover, and we have some other news. And then Patriot Barbie, Lindsey Graham, is going to come up at the top of the hour. So I'm going to go ahead and grab our timeout, and we will be back in just a few minutes here. So thank you, everybody. We'll be right back.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We are hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and income poops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually. But for now, we are starting the training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you adults and something that cares who will let us get away with it.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors. This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you go
out. High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what, why wouldn't you do... Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello everyone, I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
We do have the Patriot Barbie coming up in a little bit. That is Lindsey Graham. Not that Lindsey Graham. There's another Lindsey Graham that is definitely a patriot. And we have Amanda with us right now. So, Amanda,
Hello.
Did you have anything you wanted to go over real quick?
I was trying to find what I was reading earlier while we were at the break. And, of course, it's on my other computer. I have a work computer and I have a home computer. And so I was reading that, and I know you will know this, so I'm just going to throw this out there, that the governor of Florida actually shipped off some people that were in the state illegally to a certain spot in the Northeast.
Yes,
DeSantis
is sending the illegals to Martha's Vineyard so they can go hang out with the one percenters.
And I was curious how did he pull that off? That is so amazing. I just applaud this man every day for his efforts. How did he pull that
off? Well, what's funny is that the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, he's so angry that Texas is shipping illegals to his sanctuary city that he's starting to ship them now to Florida. So as they start coming into Florida, then they'll just get shipped right back to Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, yeah. That is...
So just when these people cross the border, then they're still going to be nomads.
That's so amazing. I just love the way this man thinks and how he acts on his inspiration, I'll put it that way.
But you know what's funny, though, Ed, is the mayor of Chicago said that it's not fair that you're trying to turn Chicago into a border town.
Oh, but I thought that isn't she super inclusive, like, you know,
yes,
welcoming everybody, open borders.
She's so
and...
inclusive that she refuses to do interviews with white men.
Oh, yes. Yes, that makes so much sense. So, but heaven forbid that those people that she thinks belong in the United States, mind you, illegally, heaven forbid they might show up in her town and she has to deal with it. Wouldn't want that to happen.
Yeah, it's all funny until it ends up on your doorstep.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I found that very very entertaining today. And, of course, the article that I had read had just a picture of DeSantis with the look on his face. And I don't know if that's an actual picture of him in the process of announcing what he did, but it was so perfect. And I just kept been chuckling about that all day. So thank you for clearing that up and giving me some more information on that.
Oh, you're welcome. I just find it weird with all these Congress and Senate and governor races that the Democrats' strategy, honestly, is to hide and don't do any public events. Don't talk to anybody.
Right. But,
they're taking what Brandon did a couple of years ago, and they're turning that into an art form. Except the guy in Florida. The guy in Florida says that when he gets elected, I wanted to say reelected because he was formerly a Republican governor, and now he was in the Senate or something, Charlie Crist, and now he's running for governor as a Democrat. And he says that he's going to be the most Democratic governor in the land. And he wants, he says on day one, he's going to institute vax passports and mandate scams.
Oh, wow. What a platform to have. Yeah, that's going to go over well in Florida.
Yeah, well, I guess he's assuming that there's going to be voter fraud because that's the only thing that's going to save him.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Well, like you said, it's something that was put forth in the last election, Mr. Brandon. And maybe that's their new MO, is just to rely upon some kind of fraud.
Waiting for someone to say it, like John Fetterwoman, and he said that's his new name, John Fetterwoman.
Really? Are you serious?
I'm just waiting for somebody to say, I don't have to campaign. I got voter fraud.
Uh-huh. They could admit it straight up, and still people wouldn't believe it.
Oh,
still people would say, no, we voted him. Oh, my gosh. That's just a little bit too funny
to
me.
Well, John Fetterwoman, he said that's his name now. I don't know if he's legally going to change his name or not, but he calls himself that now. And he's the one that had a stroke right before the primary, and they still voted him as the top Democrat candidate.
That's
so,
right. I do remember hearing that.
So he's spoken for less than 30 minutes altogether. Because it's very hard for him to talk. You could tell that there's some brain damage. But he's saying that it's discriminatory, that it's not fair that you want him to debate against Dr. Oz. And he complained that Dr. Oz owns 10 houses, but Fetterwoman owns 8.
Interesting. Well, then he is following suit with his predecessor in a way, if you want to call Brandon his predecessor. But if he's only speaking a little bit and he obviously has brain damage, I feel like that, obviously, that's what people want now. I shouldn't say people, but generally that's what we're going to get now for these quote-unquote leaders that we have. How sad.
Yeah, on our Republican or Democrat side here in Nevada, neither candidate is really doing anything.
Because they don't have to?
I guess.
They don't have to do anything? Yeah.
But Governor Shitsack, though, he puts on all his advertising that Save Nevada with Brandon and Shitsack.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you're really going to pin your re-election hopes on the dude that has a 28% approval rating.
Right. Oh, boy. So it is. It's obviously they are relying on the fraud, whether they're going to say it or not. Wouldn't it be nice if they did? But
yeah,
they're not going to admit to it right away. Maybe after the primaries are all done. And is that partly why the gas prices are, quote-unquote, coming down?
A little bit.
The election, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because now he gets credit for lowering the gas price, even though it went from $2 to $5, and then when it goes to $4.20, then he's a hero, according to him.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah. But I was wondering because, you know, it's such a great drop, just amazing, amazing how the gas prices are dropping so quickly. What a great deal. Go Brandon. No mention of how much they jumped overnight, too. They would jump overnight, as you know. And
yeah,
like 10, 20, 30 cents in 1 week. Gosh.
I saw it go up at the same gas station, changed their price 3 times in 1 day.
Wow.
I remember,
but now they're coming down.
That, I remember going to one store, and the gas station I passed, which is down the street, was $3.72 a gallon. I got back from the grocery store, it was $3.86 a gallon. And then about an hour later, I left the house again to go somewhere else, and it was at $4.02.
Wow. That is crazy. They had to have some employee out there ready with the ladder at any moment.
Yeah.
Replace those numbers. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. So what is this, what would you say the typical gas price is in your area right now? What's the general ballpark?
About $4.60.
Okay.
For the cheap stuff.
Sounds pretty close. Okay. Pretty close to where we're at right now. The least expensive station that I know of around my area is actually not too far down the street from me, and it's kind of hidden away from the freeway, and right at this moment it's $4.39, and that's the cheapest I've seen. That's including Costco. We have a Costco in town, and $4.39 is the cheapest I've seen, and that's for 87.
Yeah, we have Scams Club, and my wife paid $4.19 a gallon on Sunday.
Oh. Wow. What a deal. What a great deal.
So I have to remember where Scams Club is in town, so we'll hit that before we come home.
Good idea. Well, we don't have a Sam's Club, of course, in St. George, unfortunately. All we have is Costco. I did have a Sam's Club membership in 2020 when Costco started implementing their crazy requirements. I deleted my membership with them and transferred it over to Sam's because they never gave me any troubles at Sam's.
Right.
I always went in completely scam-free and never had anyone say boo to me. So that was good. That's why they got my business. Costco made us stand in line 6 feet apart.
I remember.
And only some of you could come in at one time. And I was done with that. I wasn't going
to
do anything.
Yeah,
of that.
They had to count seven people leaving the store, and then they would let seven people in.
Yes, exactly. And I did that one time.
People. That's not necessarily seven shopping carts going in there. If I went with you, that counts as two people, even though we're one family.
Yep.
And they were only, I remember out here, they were only letting one child in the store.
Oh, I do remember that being a thing. That was long after I'd gotten rid of my membership with them, but I remember some parents saying, what am I supposed to do with my child
adult.
In the car?
So if you had a set of two-year-old twins, you had to decide which one you're going to leave in the car in order to go shopping.
Yeah. How is that?
And they would tell
insane?
You that. They would tell you you have to leave one in the car, like you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
They thought nothing of it.
That is so insane. Yeah. And people are still going in there and doing that. Oh, no. No, no.
But we, I'm not saying me and you on the phone, but we as Americans are just weak and spineless. We allowed that to happen. We actually had hundreds of thousands of parents just deciding which kid to leave in their car for a half hour, if they were lucky.
Yeah. And they did it willingly. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. I can't get over that. That's why they don't get my business ever. And yes, it's the only club shopping center here in my area. And people are in and out of there constantly. And I drive right by every time. Nope, you're not getting my business ever again.
I honestly thought there was a Scams Club in St. George. I had no idea.
I wish I had to end up canceling my membership because the closest one is where you live. I can't.
Oh.
There's not one anywhere in the reasonable driving area, unfortunately.
All right.
So, yeah, it's all good. I mean, I didn't buy a ton of groceries with them, only some. And I did do some food storage with them, but it was good for the gas prices, and it was good for bulk items like, you know, paper towels or toilet paper or whatever, that sort of thing. Then I would go there, but
Costco does have better food. I'll give them the credit. They do have better food. Believe it or not, they are the number one seller of organic food in the United States. But there are some stores, like I told you, I'm willing to give them a second chance. But Costco, they were just too far out of line, and I will never give them a second chance.
Good. Good to hear that. Same here. Yep, exactly. They were too far out of line. And here in Utah, we have a grocery chain called Harmon's, and we do have a Harmon's grocery store in St. George, Utah. And they were also crazy, out of line crazy, calling the cops. It didn't matter what you do, what you said. They didn't want to hear it. They actually were probably
one of the worst
offenders. You know what's
funny is I heard the one in Santa Clara was okay, but the one in St. George was not.
Interesting, because I did not hear that. All I heard was how awful they all were. I was like, and I used to work for Harmon's when I lived in northern Utah some years ago, and they always claimed to be so you know, local, they wanted to support local businesses and small businesses. And really when it came down to it, they're just looking to coddle a certain demographic of a certain age. And that's all. There is no real care for the common or the local.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, and they're expensive. So the school where I teach is right by this Harmon. So I could go there. It would be very convenient, but I don't. I drive all the way out of my way to either Lynn's or Smith. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know and, that you are not much of a junk food person, if you will, but I have to admit that I'm kind of addicted to Lynn's Donuts. I have to get them whenever I go.
Oh, that does not surprise me. They seem to have a pretty great selection. I've seen them, and I've definitely walked by. So there's usually
the
a big crowd.
The selection, in my opinion, is kind of small, but they are tasty.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so
I thought there was quite a
quality
from,
is key here.
Good. Yes, they have a pretty good size lens that's not too far from me, and I do hit them on occasion because they – and you can go in there barefoot. Nobody's ever said, well, pretty much anywhere I go barefoot, I've never had anybody say anything to me, ever. In all my days, I told you, even when I was in high school, I was – going to stores barefoot. Everywhere I went was barefoot. I've never had anybody say anything to me. And same with Lynn's and Smith's, and I've never had any troubles. So, but that, you know, with the scam thing, the only time I had problems, because as soon as I found out that they were crazy, I would just quit going. And the only time I had any real troubles with a store being adamant, I went to a clothing store, American Eagle or something. I was just passing some time waiting for a friend, and so I thought I'd go in and see what kind of clothes they have. And as soon as I walked in, we won't serve you if you don't have a scam on your face. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just looking. Yeah, well, you can't be in here. And the whole time staring at me. And so I stood there staring at him, and we stared at each other for a while. So I didn't look at any clothes, and I just left. Like, I wasn't even going to buy anything. I was just looking. But the rest of the time, no, I didn't. I stood my ground, and they all backed down. Everybody backed down. It was good. This was the only time I really had any troubles. A stupid clothing store that was too expensive anyway. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm the money pox failed miserably with the globalists. They were really hoping that they could just get off the COVID train and sell money pox, but they couldn't do it. I heard a couple of people say that Dr. Fauci got really beat up by Rand Paul again today. And this might have been his biggest beating ever, but I didn't see any clips.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that. That would be nice to hear about. He's been pretty critical of Fauci, or what do you call him? What do you call Fauci?
Dr. Fraudy?
Fraudy?
Dr.
Fraudy.
Yeah, Dr. Fraudy.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Not to be confused with Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady.
They all hang around together, though. You know that. They're all in the same little elite group. Yep. Buddies.
So while we have a couple minutes here, we haven't played Broccoli Man. And if we can squeeze in a call after, before we bring in our guest, I'll do that. But
right.
Let me go ahead and play this real quick if you can grab it.
I've got it right here.
All right. So if you're ready, so am I.
All right. Let's go.
All right. So we'll hook it up here. So let me. All right. So this one's called Double Standards, and it's featuring The Factor. who's the fact checker. All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
Broccoli's talk. Hold it right there. I am putting you back in social media jail.
Oh, wow. Like, I am totally shocked by that. What post are you upset about this time?
You MAGA people are a threat to a democracy. You have too much hate in your soul. You are always angry.
Please explain how I am the angry one. But you are the one flipping me off.
Yes. You MAGA people are too extreme.
We are not in a democracy. We are in a republic. You are spreading misinformation.
You posted against the no cash bail system in Chicago. That was blatantly racist.
Chicago is letting people who killed other people, burglars, and child rapists to just get a ticket. They are not spending a day in jail. There is no way in the world that the murder capital of the United States where that is the way to fix your broken system.
You are just upset that all those people of color are not spending time in jail.
Do you know what the best way to stay out of jail is? It is to not commit any crimes in the first place.
That is way too racist, Broccoli's talk. For being a racist, I am going to add another 30 days to your jail sentence. You are abusing or something, Drucker, for real.
At least 50 people every weekend die in gun violence in Chicago, where it is the hardest city to legally own guns. So how is not letting these people not spend time in jail going to make it better?
You are just upset that black people are not staying in those jails. That is why you need to be in that jail. We need those jails empty so we can put more MAGA people like you in those FEMA camps. But FEMA camps do not exist. If you think that FEMA camps exist, that is too extreme, and we will need to put you in a FEMA camp.
Okay, that makes no sense.
Of course you would not understand that. You support MAGA. Over 80% of Americans need to be re-educated. You all either voted for Trump or complained about Brandon. You need to be in line with the majority of Americans.
That is weird. The majority of Americans is the over 80%.
That is false. The 20% is the majority because we are not MAGA. The 20% is bigger than your 80% because we always support the Democrat Party. We support Michael Levinson Obama, who is a very nice lady. We also proudly support hardcore communism. You do not.
Communism has never been successful in any time it has ever been tried.
That is false. China is the most free nation in the world.
That is one of the falsiest falses ever. They have a social credit score and are all about communism.
You are spreading more disinformation. Also, Venezuela, North Korea, and Cuba are great examples of communism.
That is exactly my point. Those nations killed, and even China and the Soviet Union killed millions of people and micromanaged everyone's lives, or you kill them. There is zero freedom there.
That is true. That is why we like it so much. We can get rid of 80% of Americans because all you all support MAGA. Then we can have a complete nation of people of color. We will need to complete a one-world government so we can get rid of any worldwide freedom.
But you fact-checked me for saying there is a one-world government.
That is correct. You said it is a bad thing. We are saying it is a good thing.
Just like when I say something about gun violence in Chicago. You fact-check me. But if a criminal takes a selfie of himself killing someone, that is free speech. But I get censored for sharing this.
That is correct. We also need to arrest you for having your temperature in your house set at 80 degrees. You are required to keep your smart meter at 81 degrees. You are killing the environment. You also eat meat and drive a car. You need to stop posting about eating linguine and clams and need to show selfies of you eating the bugs.
That is something I will never ever do in my life. I will always drive a car, never have a smart thermostat, and I especially will not eat bugs. And I will also continue to put child traffickers in prison as fast as I can.
You would not know anything about eating the bugs because you are not black.
Okay. I am not sure how refusing to eat bugs makes me racist.
It means you take bases better than other people.
But will Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, and George Soros eat bugs?
No, of course not. Since they're the 1% that create the global policies, they can eat whatever they like. They do not eat the bugs. Also, you need to put a scam on that face. You at least need to make sure you at least keep it on your chin.
Please explain to me why it is so important to wear a scam on my chin when I go places. COVID emergency went away over 8 months ago.
Wearing a scam on your chin means you will still support the Democrat Party. It is our political symbol. All Democrats always wear scams.
Well, I do not wear political symbols on my face that make people sick.
That is misinformation. You are too focused on the negative. The important thing is that you look like you care. Plus, you are showing your complete support for the Democrat Party. You cannot go wrong even if you get sick from wearing them.
Please, stop blindly listening to fake news. Check out real news shows like Proof Negative. He is on Freedomizer Radio. He shares the latest in real news. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. You can listen live on freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. You will be happy you have educated yourself.
That is false. You must always listen to fake news so we can program you the right way. You need to support us or else we will not be relevant. Everyone needs to keep funding our operations and you should wear these camps forever. Now stop listening to Freedomizer Radio.
All right, so that was the latest. That's Broccoli Man featuring the Factor called Double Standards. I hope it was okay.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
That's all right, if it sucks, spot you can on. Tell me. I don't mind.
Oh, no. No, you always, it's always great the way you present the facts and the truth of things. It's obvious to us that this is such a scam and a farce and propaganda, but yet it's presented just like this Factor where if it's not going to be shared and you're not listening to it, then they stop being relevant.
Right.
That's absolutely true. I wish that was what people would do, just stop giving it any attention and just ignore the propaganda that's being shoved in our faces all the time.
I understand. So, Patriot Barbie, if you are ready, just press the 1 button, and I'll bring you in. And she is ready. So, all right, I see you there, Bianchi, but I have a guest, and I wanted to get my cartoon out of the way. I want to bring in the Patriot Barbie, who I heard on Alex Jones a while back, and then she's been on some other shows as well. And I had a friend that reached out and hooked up the both of us together, and I'm very happy to bring on Lindsey Graham, a.k.a. the Patriot Barbie.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm adequate here, so I forgot that you're from Oregon.
Well, I'm from Oregon, but I don't live in Oregon now, praise the Lord.
Because I remember that story. You are a hairdresser, and the federales came and pretty much removed you from your building.
That is, yeah, they sure tried, I'll tell you that much. I actually never shut back down. I never complied, and I still have not paid any of the fines that I was issued or the collections that I've been sent. I refuse.
Wow, well done. I applaud
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure Governor Kate Brown is really impressed.
She, yeah, I'm kind of her arch nemesis now. I would say she created a monster. I was pretty apolitical. I was pretty unconcerned with politics before 2020. And now I'm pretty much spearheading the conservative movement. So if she would have left well enough alone and let me just reopen my salon and work, which is all I wanted to do, this would be a very different story, but she created a monster.
I had somebody on my show from Washington State 2 years ago where she was cutting her son's hair on a Facebook Live, and she was showing hair cutting techniques, and she was doing them on her son. And before her Facebook Live was finished, she had a knock on the door, and they attempted to arrest her for cutting hair in her house.
Oh, for the love of God. So California, Oregon, Washington are pretty much they're
racing. Them and New York are racing to the bottom, and Chicago.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
It's just hard to believe that Portland can have a mayor that rolls with Antifa breaking windows.
Yeah, and supporting it. And what's funny is after Ted Wheeler, who's the mayor of Portland, after he stood up and announced his pride in BLM and his support for them and their right to protest, shortly after they threatened to burn his apartment down and he had to flee.
And he's like, no, it's cool. I understand. I'm white. I apologize for being white.
Yep.
I just can't believe that racism is fresh again after spending several generations fighting race relations. Now it's cool to separate each other again.
Well, it's definitely not cool, and it's interesting to me that people – I mean, some of the sleepy people aren't recognizing that it's specifically one party that's making every single thing, every single topic, every conversation about race.
Yes.
And it's not the conservative party.
And 25% of Democrats believe that a man can get pregnant. I don't know if you heard that.
I did not hear that statistic, but however, I am not surprised.
So I wonder if that's the same amount of people that believe in the tooth fairy.
I would say there's a pandemic in the Democratic Party of stupidity.
And the sad thing is, it's not just because they're Democrats. There are some Democrats that are not bad. Like,
right.
If Tulsi Gabbard was around, she's just a traditional Democrat. Bill Maher is a traditional Democrat. I'll even take Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona. She's not as bad as a lot of the others. But there are just some rubber stamps out there. And these people just don't have brains. They're just seals that just vote for however they're told.
Right. Which is a shame, because I've said this for about a year now. I don't know what they think is going to happen when this agenda works and there's communism and socialism and they are nobody. They're not at the top of the totem pole. They're not at the top of the food chain, and they have to obey all of the rules that they were so quick to introduce.
Yes, and you're in Arizona now, right?
Yes.
So I'm just trying to understand how Katie Hobbs has a slight lead over Carrie Lake. That to me just doesn't sound possible.
I'm certain that is a complete and utter lie. There is no way. There's no way.
And Hobbs says she doesn't have to debate. She refuses and doesn't need to because she's a Democrat. I don't understand that logic where I'm a Democrat. I don't have to debate.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure, well, that's a lot of their mentality now. The only reason she wouldn't debate is if she knows they're going to cheat her in. And I also believe she's going to be embarrassed and humiliated. She knows Carrie Lake will not back down. She's going to be embarrassed on stage because she can't prove that her policies work. You can pull the wool over anyone's eyes on social media, on commercials, on staged appearances. But as soon as you're faced with answering to the policies that you've helped instate and everyone can see that they have failed, that's a complete humiliation.
It's just a shame to me when you see Governor Grusom in California mocking Governor DeSantis. It's like,
right.
I live in Las Vegas, you're in Arizona. If you go to California for the weekend, you don't see Florida license plates. But I promise you,
no.
If you are in Florida, you will see California plates.
Absolutely. Everyone's fleeing for the freedom.
And I just can't believe how in California it's just you shut down all the coal plants and now you have no electricity and now you're blaming global warming.
Right. Well, we see through their agenda.
Yeah, but what is it going to take for Washington, Oregon, and California to wake up, because I don't know what's going to wake people up anymore.
I don't either. I think they need to see it for themselves, unfortunately. I think it needs to hit their household. I think
those three states need to become their own country and let them be the next Cuba and just own it.
Yeah, that could be it.
I'd be okay with that. If they voted for those three states to be new Cuba or something, and they voted for it, hey, I'm okay. I don't need to do business there. It's cool.
Right. I completely agree. Well, this is why we moved to Arizona, to escape the tyranny in Oregon, and took all of our money with us, took our taxes with us, and it's been a kind of situation where I say we will never, ever move to a blue state again. In fact, if a state were to turn blue, we'd pick up and leave. It's that important to take our money with us and take
well,
our money.
I'm in Las Vegas, and it's about as purple as it gets here, so I am trying to figure that out as we speak.
Awesome. Where are you at?
Las Vegas. And my
okay.
co-host Amanda is in St. George, Utah, just down the street from me.
Awesome. Well, Arizona would welcome you.
Yeah, I have lots of friends there. We go there often enough. And we have meetups for my nonprofit there. I'm familiar.
Thanks.
As a matter of fact, we were talking about donuts last hour. There's a donut shop that I like to go to, and everybody's going to think I just eat garbage now, but in Tempe, there's a Simpsons-themed donut shop called Hertz Donut.
Okay.
That's just my favorite. That's my favorite donut shop. That's all.
So amazing. I'll have to try it out. I love donuts, too.
And they have a Wambulance outside. I just remember when everybody was playing the scam-wearing game that I just remember somebody saying, if you're mad at me not wearing a scam, do you need me to bring you the Wambulance? And it was just outside.
That's awesome.
But what I don't understand, Lindsay, with these scam wearers, and I posted this on my Spybook page yesterday, what is it about these people that they leave the scam in their car, and when they go into a store, they put it on their chin, and they'll wear it that way for 8 hours, but they can't go without it, but they're not going to put it over their face. They're just going to leave it on. I just don't understand the purpose more than me, so maybe you know the inside baseball on that. I don't know.
No, it's just a sense of, hey, you know, wearing it lets everyone know that to a certain extent, I do care about other people, and I value, respect other people's health. And even though I may not be wearing it right now, you know that I will if you need me to. I'm here if you need me.
Those are the same people that buy Priuses and do not tint their windows on purpose just so everybody can see that they're the ones saving the earth.
Exactly. When really they're not. They're not doing much. Just like the people with BLM that say, you know, put a black picture as your profile picture, a solid black. I'm like, you're not doing anything. You realize that, right? All you're doing is showing the world that you'll comply with any given movement at the time if it's convenient.
Yeah.
You do nothing. You do nothing to
help
anyone.
That's all. I support the current thing.
Yep. Yep.
So, Amanda, I want you to meet Lindsay also.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in the conversation, so I've been just listening intently, and forgive my ignorance on this topic, but it sounds like you became a conservative while living in Washington because of how corrupt,
Oregon,
obviously, it is, and Washington, Oregon, and then moved to Arizona for the freedom specifically. And are you now involved in the politics, or are you involved in the conservative movement in your area, or
yes,
how does that look
yes
for you?
So yeah, I went from being a hairstylist, and we lost 6 businesses in Oregon standing up to lockdown, mostly due to cancel culture. We felt like, you know, our family wasn't safe in Oregon with Kate Brown sending Child Protective Services to our house, threatening our kids. BLM and Antifa were threatening to burn my salon down. So we left for Arizona, and there was not any part of me that wanted to start over and rebuild what I had built for 15 years and was at the top of my game in Oregon. And so I kind of gave my life to the Lord again and said, all right, I think you have something bigger and better for me. I'm here for it. And he just kind of, you know, put me in the political movement, put me in a conservative activist mode. My social media has grown exponentially, huge reach. I wrote a book about, you know, my fight against Oregon and what I've been through. And I now have a podcast as well. So I'm just a voice for conservatives, if you will.
So when
amazing.
Can your show be heard?
I only launch one episode per week, and they drop every Thursday. So a new one's going to drop tomorrow.
Okay. Hey, if you ever decide that you want to do a live show, to me, the whole fun part about having a show is that there are callers. So I can say, hey, I want to go to Jim in Buffalo right now, and Sarah in San Diego, you're next, but Jim in Buffalo, what's on your mind? There's just something that is just so much more fun about doing a live show as opposed to uploading it. Like, I have a music show that I'm very seriously debating on leaving because I upload it on Sunday night and then it gets played Saturday afternoon, and I have no clue how it's going. Because that coincides with my church time, so I don't listen to it. I don't have like a link. I have no clue. I'm just creating a show and hoping that people hear it. And so there's just a huge difference when you have a live show and you get your callers and your guests and all that. So if you ever decide, I make it real easy for somebody just to join us off the street.
Fun. That would be awesome.
So, Amanda, if you have anything here, I want you to get some questions in. I know you just had something here, but I want you to get to meet Lindsay.
Oh, sure. I was just going to ask more about Arizona. We actually did look into moving to Arizona. It was right around 2020. We were looking pretty seriously, and we ended up just we were in northern Utah, which, by the way, northern Utah is not as conservative as you would say southern Utah. So southern Utah is only Utah in name. I feel like we're much more aligned with, say, Arizona. But we did look at moving to Arizona pretty seriously. But instead, things worked out for us to go here to St. George, Utah area, and there is a pretty good, substantial amount of people. I teach at the local college once a week. I'm a yoga instructor, and so I get to see these younger students, and surprisingly, they are actually coming to this school specifically for the conservative feel of it. And I was just curious for that, your experience now being in Arizona, what do you feel has been, besides, of course, your freedom, what has been the biggest change you've noticed while picking back up, writing books? What really has made Arizona amazing for you?
I would say probably the culture, because when you have people that live a naturally free life, they're happier, they're more joyful, they're less restrained, they have freedom. And in Oregon, you know, a lot of the country doesn't realize how, even Oregonians don't realize how much freedom they don't have until they come visit here. And they say, wait, you guys don't have any mandates at all anymore? And I'm like, you still have mandates? You still do? And they still do. It's,
hey, in
wow.
Oregon,
like,
you can't
it's
even
insane.
Pump your own gas.
No, you cannot. I mean, there's so much control going on up there. And, you know, they hide it under ideas like, oh, it creates jobs for people to pump gas. It creates jobs. And
I wonder, though, you know, in 10 years when they ban the gas cars, if they're going to let you charge your own vehicle,
right?
Or you have to pay somebody to charge your car.
Oh, no, yeah. It would create jobs for people to charge them for you. So, of course. But, yeah, it feels like a different culture. And when I go back to Oregon, it's very, very depressing. You know, everyone is unhappy. They're miserable. They don't have any control over their lives. They lost control. They're suppressed and they're isolated and they're compliant. And that can change your entire, your entire vibe, your entire feeling.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That's good to know. I haven't been to Oregon for many years, and everything that happened all through 2020 just really basically scares you off from wanting to go to certain states. And that's interesting to hear the comparison from where you're at now and where you used to be. And it sounds like these people in Oregon are still pretty much asleep at the wheel. What do you think it will take to really shake people back into awareness?
Like I was telling him, I think it's actually going to take the fight coming to their front door. I mean, it already has, but I think they're going to have to lose what they were already afraid of losing by standing up. They're going to have to lose that anyway and then realize, well, I should have just stood up. You know, like I lost all my businesses. Well, the whole point of reopening was so that I wouldn't lose my businesses. And then I lost them anyway. Well, there are people that don't want to stand up and speak up because they don't want to get canceled. Well, when you get canceled anyway because you didn't comply with something or you didn't agree, just simply agree with something,
and sometimes
and you lose
it's
that
not
job.
Even that. It's just the fact that discriminating based on race is fresh again. So
right.
You could be canceled just because of your skin color.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. So it's going to take that happening to them for them to go to get into the fight.
And
got
I
it.
Would think personally
wow.
that out of those three states, I think Oregon is even behind Washington, and California is way far ahead for freedom. I think Oregon, I don't know whether it's Oregon or New York that would be the most behind, but those two are like neck and neck for the worst states to live in right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Thanks.
Believe it or not, there are pockets of conservatives still in California. You don't find those kind of people in Oregon.
I believe. And well, there's actually pockets of conservatives, too, but the loudest and proudest of them is the liberals, and they use their voice to overtake everyone else's voice. They silence and shun and punish anyone that speaks up, and so no one is wanting to speak up there. And that's the truth.
See, I've been saying for a while that if people in Portland want to turn Portland into Cuba, it's much easier just to rent a U-Haul and go drive to Havana and live where people already embrace communism instead of trying to force people into it.
Right. Yep.
So I know that when I there's been some Patriot meetings I've been to in the Phoenix area where I've spoken at before, and it's funny that there was and I don't know if they still do them or not, and I don't even remember the chain, but I remember that in the same day that there was a meeting in Tempe, in Scottsdale, and Gilbert. And so I spoke at the Gilbert one, and then there was two other meetings at the same time. But I like the fact that conservatives are organizing and getting involved in your area.
Yeah. There's a big movement here in Arizona.
Yeah, if Carrie Lake wins, I feel a lot more comfortable that if something ever happened, it's much easier for me to get across the Arizona border than it would be to drive to Texas or Florida.
That's right. It would.
And I promise, I don't take the liberals' voting habits. I will come down and vote conservative, I promise.
I wasn't worried. I 100% believe that.
So what do you have, what type of guest have you had on your podcast so far?
I like to do a lot of guests that speak up on issues that otherwise might get censored, because I can't really get censored. I've made my moves with my podcast in the conservative movement on Rumble, InfoWars, Mike Lindell. And so I don't even put my shows up on YouTube because I don't want to get canceled. So then these people come and they talk about like immigration issues and gun issues. And right now I'm talking to some of these ex-leftists that have transitioned and detransitioned, and people that are gay that are against the leftist movement. Very controversial, but, you know, productive conversations.
Yeah, it's like the Democrats, like, I will use Kyrsten Sinema as an example, that I don't think she is somebody that I can relate to necessarily, but I feel like she's what they call a Democrat, which I can live with. If you read the bill and you can pass something, I'll respect you. If you're just rubber stamping a vote, I don't have any respect for that.
Right.
I don't need somebody to vote for me 100% of the time, but you need to be your own thinker and feel as though you'll eventually represent me instead of just humans are evil. I don't want that person. Don't be that guy.
Yeah. Right.
But Hank Johnson keeps getting elected in Georgia, and he thinks that Guam's about to tip over because there'd be too many peoples on it. And that gets 8 terms in a row.
Interesting.
You never heard that?
No, I've not.
Well, I wonder if I have it on the switchboard. It's one of the funniest clips I've ever heard. When he's literally spending time talking about how he thinks that Cuba's going to, Guam is going to tip over. I don't have it on the switchboard anymore. I would have played it. But I'm like you. I promote only on Rumble. I do not do YouTube because they censored my cartoon.
Mm-hmm. They censor way too much. There's no point. No point in getting your following there just so they can rip it down from you.
Yeah, I'd rather get 100 followers on Rumble than worry about getting 1,000 on YouTube, and that's okay, because I know at the end of the day, my stuff isn't going to be up for 4 months and all of a sudden get taken down for community standards.
Right.
I remember J.P. Sears did a video that we were all thinking about back a year or so ago. With the censorship, it's like, all they have to do is tell you that you violated community standards. And you,
I remember that.
And you ask them, what standards did I break? Oh, well, clearly you violated the community standards. Okay, and which community standards was it? Oh, it was the community standards. Like, you can't even tell me. Yes.
Yep.
That's what is more annoying than anything, is that it's just you're not for the global Democrat agenda, so therefore you're subject to be put on the firing squad. Yesterday, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, is at a Hardee's drive-thru, and I guess the FBI was following him because they got him while he was sitting in the drive-thru waiting for his food. And they surrounded him and took his cell phone from him.
Oh, geez. I know. They're out of control.
And they justified it by saying that it was conspiracy of identity theft.
Oh, geez.
Mike Lindell is worth, what, $300-$500 million? He's really going to take somebody else's identity, really? Nobody would notice?
Right.
I have a hard time believing that, but they'll make stuff up.
Right.
But I've never seen in my life, but this is what happened in Nazi Germany and Stalin's Russia, where if you're against the political party, no matter how much in the minority your party is, they are so drunk on that power, and they know they're about to lose it, so they go all out. But normally it fizzles out, so I just can't see, and you could look at it this way too, that there have been pockets of globalists taking over areas, but nobody's ever been able to take over the world. There has never been a one-world government, and I don't think, I right now don't think even today that they'll be able to conquer the entire Earth. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say they're not going to try, but as far as Agenda 2030, I just think that I don't care how much AI they have. I just think the power of our Lord and Savior will overcome that.
That's right.
But at the same
time,
I do think that we will be made to take some punishment and see. We're going to have to face some wrath here based on what we as a humanity have done over the years. But I think at the end of the day, we'll win. It's just that we're going to have to go through our tribulations.
Right. I agree. It's our honor to be living in a time like this.
Hey, I believe in what that rapper Bone Crusher said about 15 years ago when he sang, "I Ain't Never Scared."
Yeah.
You can't be scared of these people. I'm not going to stop doing my show just because somebody might knock on my door one day. I'm not going to worry about it.
Nope.
No, you can't play scared, because then you lose.
Yeah, and they're counting on that.
Yeah, they think they can just bully, but it's hard to bully when the president who's doing the bullying, and every chance he gets now, he says that people that support MAGA are the enemy of the state. But it's really hard to sell that message when you have a 28% approval rate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if most people aren't buying it anymore, the ones that are, they're the ones that need to be scared.
I agree. I just don't see. And what, Kamala's approval rating is about 17%? I just don't see. I don't see a winning team. Now, if they had a 72% approval rating and they wanted to go after everybody, I would say that there's no way we could win, but there's more of us than there are of them. And it's not even close. It's just that
no,
people
not
have to get off their kadunka dunk dunk and they have to be willing to stand up as opposed to being wusses. And that's what the Democrats have, that they've become good at, is that they know how to beat people into submission. And you get a lot of people who want to say something, but they're scared that, oh, I'm going to be called a racist, or they're going to hate me, so I'm not going to ruffle any feathers. I'm just going to do what I'm told and be a good slave.
Yeah.
But nobody's ever complied their way into freedom before.
Nope. Sure, I'm going to start now. Proof, I've got about 5 more minutes before I have to go tuck my kiddos in.
All right, hey, that's cool. We can wrap this up. I didn't know how much time I had with you here, so that's cool. I wouldn't mind having you back, or if you ever need a guest sometime, I can be on your show, and I can share several things. Amanda, you have anything else you want to get into? I'm just gonna let Lindsay cover her website and her book real quick, and then she can go handle her kids.
That's great. That's just what I was gonna ask. Information on your podcast, your website, and your book.
Sure. Thank you, guys. My website is patriotbarbie.com, and my link to my book is there. My link to subscribe to my podcast is there. My apparel is there, and all of kind of my backstory, if people want to read a little bit more into the story, it's all on patriotbarbie.com.
All right. Any big interviews you have coming up? I know that nothing could be as glamorous as the Proof Negative show, I'm sure.
That's right. No, I'm pretty hyper-focused on my podcast right now. I don't have some events coming up that I'm attending, events that I'm hosting, but nothing kind of taking my time right now.
So what kind of guests have you had on?
I've had King Bao. He was the guy that told Jimmy Kimmel to viral this. I had Chelsea Hutcherson from Women Fighting for America. Justin Cross from Earn It All. We've got a whole array of freedom fighters.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. We'll talk. I end up using my spy book more than my email, but either way works, and we'll be in touch. I'd like to have you back again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for thanking me. And, Lindsay, I'll go ahead and let you handle your kids then. Thank you for being here, and I'll see if I can get you back on in October or November or something.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Enjoy your evening.
You too. Bye, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, so on that note, we got an extra 25 minutes to handle things here.
Sounds good. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard her story, so that was really great information to have. And it's sort of sad to think that there's really no helping. There's no helping your area, so you have to move away. It's your only option. You want to succeed, you want to have your business, if you want to flourish, you have to actually move to a different state. How sad is that? It blows my mind.
And it's one thing if your state is down the middle and it's purple, like Nevada might be, but there's no hope in Oregon.
I guess so. That sucks. I feel bad about that. Because Oregon used to be a great destination.
California occasionally gets a Republican governor. The Oregon will never.
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed that it has to come to that, because I've had the same feelings. There's no helping, so I have to move away wherever I can feel as though I can at least have a respite, or feel as though I can enjoy somewhat of my freedoms. And, I mean, I mentioned to you earlier that this is Constitution Week. We are learning a lot about what America is supposed to stand for, at least the initial founding fathers vision of things. And what it's come to today is I think it's a complete different scenario. And I'm certain if those men were here right now, they would be furious of what has happened, how few people actually respect the vision of a government being very limited. So you don't have a constant, a big government that's constantly meddling in your own affairs. And, you know, it's not just the federal government, of course, it's the local governments as well, taking liberties that were never theirs in the first place. And yes, we allowed it, of course. There is that factor that this is what we have. We've gotten complacent, we've gotten lazy, or maybe it's just a lack of education over the years of the propaganda overtaking what really is the true history. It could be all those factors at this point. When did people actually have enough of the crap and just speak out? Stand up and speak out. You don't have to be violent like BLM. You don't have to be violent like Antifa. You can have your voice known. You can have your voice heard and have other people gravitate to that so you can be effective. But it seems like these loud, obnoxious, what I guess leftists, that's the only term I have now, are the ones who get all the airtime and the attention and the, like, the squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of thing. It's really
we're kind of at a crossroads, though, because I don't want to see the violence. I don't think that that's exactly what's needed. At the same time, Antifa and Black Lives Matter got what they wanted based on violence. So I'm not saying it's the best, but I understand.
Right. Huh. Yeah, it's very, very interesting indeed.
So I wanted to share an interesting story here. So I don't know if you heard about the guy that killed a reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal newspaper.
So there was
a Clark County administrator that killed a reporter because he blamed him for exposing a corruption scandal that he was involved in. And he thoroughly blamed the reporter for losing his race. Did I send you that story on Spybook?
Yes, I'm reading through it right now. I had touched on it a minute before our last guest came on, but now I'm actually reading through it in a little more detail. This is disturbing. And the look on this guy's face, wow.
Yeah, I want to let you in on a little secret about this dude.
Okay.
When my ex-wife divorced me, this was her, the divorce attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to know him.
Wow. That's really, wow. That's crazy. I think this guy's a little crazy. I think he's crazy. Wow. Okay.
Well, when you see the look on his face there in court, and
mm-hmm.
Either he enjoyed killing him, because who is going to smile like that when they're calling out his case and they're talking about what he did?
Right. Yeah. That's disturbing. Yeah. Well, it's just another indication of, I guess, what is happening in the world, and this is okay to just kill a reporter. And you know, there used to be a time when reporters had sort of a no harm clause. Do you remember those days when reporters would go into war and everybody just left them alone because they were the reporters? We want them to be able to do their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't matter what the squabble was between the nations. You just allowed the USA Today and Al Jazeera and all them, you let them do their job.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all different.
Yeah. Yeah. Disappointing and sad.
Yeah, whistleblowers used to be commended. Now it's like they have no problem openly saying they're going to kill you.
Yeah, bingo, exactly.
So you heard about the train strike, right?
Train strike? No, like as in a worker strike?
Yes, I'll share one sample article here with you, but Amtrak, all the delivery trains, they're all stopping on Friday.
Oh, I had not heard that one. Ooh, fill me in. I need to know details on that.
Yeah, I sent you a link.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, yeah, all refrigerated products that are shipped on trains, they stopped.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. Wednesday afternoon, Amtrak said it will cancel all long-distance trains starting Thursday, September 15th, to avoid possible passenger disruptions while en route.
Correct.
Passenger disruptions? Okay.
Well, that means if you're taking a train from Seattle to Charlotte, North Carolina, they don't want to just boot you out in Omaha and say, we're stopping.
Oh, got it. Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, they're not going to say you're going to be in Omaha until the strike is over. So,
well, okay. Hey, I mean, maybe that will get somebody's attention. Tell me, you've obviously read it more, and this is the first I'm hearing of it. Does this seem like a legitimate strike, or does it feel like it's some sort of false flag? I'm a lot of skeptical.
I don't know about strikes being false flags necessarily. It's not that it can't be, but they're talking about wage increases, better health care. I don't know. It's just a union squabble that everybody gets every so often. I don't know.
Sometimes I just
think this is kind of a dumb strike, but what do I know?
That's why I have to wonder, is this some sort of false flag that we're going to find out leads to some big, now we're going to have to increase prices on things that are only shipped by Amtrak and now we're never going to get refrigerated items. I'm just waiting for that to be the story now. And then, of course, fuel prices will have to go up. Oh, yeah, supply chain issues would be geometrically magnified by the rail strike. Okay.
Yes, and in the meantime, they're going to brag about how the rail service is doing phenomenal while they're on strike, because that's what
mm-hmm.
Democrats do.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, typically InfoWars does a good job, or at least for the most part, does a good job of.
Well, I just picked the first one at random. It is big nationwide news.
Yes, and I was just thinking they often do report on things that seem to be worth researching. So sometimes when it's just on, say, CNN, then I automatically have to question, is it even really happening? But yes, I see InfoWars is actually including some sources, which is nice. They seem to be fairly up on all of the different conspiracies, thankfully.
Well, I don't think this is a conspiracy. I see this being a legitimate strike issue, but I really now you're going to strike?
Yeah.
But that's how unions are, I guess. They don't care about the environment of what's going on today.
Mm-hmm. Bingo right there. I'm reading through some of the comments here. This one, the comment reads, "Atlas Shrugged is finally coming true." I read that book several times now over my adult life, and now that got me thinking. I'm definitely going to research the story a little deeper. Did you ever read Atlas Shrugged?
No,
I have
not.
With it?
I know of the book, and I've heard people reference it, but I've never read it.
Okay. You'd like it, I think, if you're into – it's a very big, lengthy book. It's by Ayn Rand, and she was definitely anti-communist, anti-fascist. So she writes a story about, and it's a fictional story, but it's something that almost feels like it could happen.
Kind of like George Orwell?
Yes, very much so. And the premise is around this railroad company, essentially. There's this company that's owned by family. And they're a monopoly. And because when it was written, railroads were the thing. It was definitely not airlines. Railroads were the thing, and that's, you know, all transportation and all goods being shipped were reliant upon the railroads and, of course, ships, like boats. And
yeah.
So, of course, there's one of the family who's very corrupt and in bed with politicians, and they're trying to rule and monopolize everything. And then there's another family member who is starting to become skeptical of this. And pretty soon, on the outskirts of the story, you find that there are these well-known brilliant people who are movers and shakers. They're inventors. They're well known in their craft, and they're actually ones who are movers and shakers and can really make a difference. And they start disappearing, and nobody knows where they're going. Well, pretty soon you find out that there's somebody gathering these brilliant people, and his name is John Galt. So if you've ever heard the saying, he was John Galt. Yeah, so he's kind of an enigma at first because there's nobody really knows who it is, but he's sort of there, but not. And so it's really fascinating that this is pointing that direction. Now I have to do a little more connecting of the dots. Got me interested. So I would recommend that. Ayn Rand she was a controversial figure. I learned about her in a philosophy class when I went to college, and because she was anti-communist and anti-fascist, a lot of people looked down at her because she had a view of the fact that the individual is more important than the collective. So she would say altruism is actually not this great and wonderful virtue. Altruism is considered to be, in her view, is considered to be something that you actually don't want to fall into fully, because all you do is give of yourself so there's nothing left and nothing for yourself, basically. You just give until you're dead. You're just bones at this point. And it's never truly what fills the need. It doesn't fill the hole. It doesn't fill the need. And you're constantly giving of yourself. And just to give of your resources, your thoughts, your aspirations to the collective is is a great way to have the collective take over and become a communistic society. The individual is more important, and we should care for ourselves every bit as much as the collective or even more. So once you're taking good care of yourself and making sure that your needs are met, that the rest falls into place. And so she was very controversial, to say the least. But I would recommend anybody reading that book for sure.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just trying to look and see if there was a... we were talking earlier. Oh, I can. All right, let me see if I can grab this real quick. The Dr. Paul versus Dr. Fraudy. I'm downloading as we speak here. We'll have just enough time to play this, I think. I'll show you the article.
Okay.
So, Rand Paul confronts Dr. Fraudy on his flip, saying that getting infected protects you from a virus more than vaccines.
Huh. Alphonse. Oh, man. That's hilarious. What a great title.
And then Dr. Fraudy says that film you showed was taken out of context. Reuters fact-checked that, and Dr. Paul said that the words don't lie.
Oh, good. Thank you for calling him out, somebody. I mean, typically, Rand Paul is pretty good at that kind of stuff, so that's great. But I heard the same clip. I heard what he said. I heard the context it was in. I do remember Brody saying things like, masks don't work.
Mm-hmm.
They just make people feel better. Yeah, I remember that too.
And then you need two scams. Then you need to wear them indoors. As long as somebody left the house that day, then everybody needs to wear a scam inside their house and eat in separate bedrooms so that you're not breathing on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. Don't have Christmas because somebody might not have gotten their vaccine, or they might not wear a scam when they're done eating their dinner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm just like Pepperidge Farm. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Right.
Yeah, this clip is going to take me too long to download here. I tried.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah, I really would have liked to have played this, but I guess that'll be tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. I like that, though, that there is someone who's willing to call him out. And isn't this Elf on the Shelf supposed to be retiring soon? I feel like he's not even supposed to be in the... I feel like he should just shut up and go away.
Yeah, but just if he retires, then he won't have to show up anymore. He could say he's retired. So if you want him to be on the stage and have a potential to be arrested, then he has to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if he doesn't want to retire and he wants to answer questions and do all the dirty work and just keep putting himself further in trouble, then so be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's not running any offense right now. He's just playing defense.
Okay, well, I'll take that. Because the less I have to hear from this thing, the better. obviously a puppet, and a bad one at that.
Right.
Yeah, well,
you don't hear him right now talking about how great the scams are and how great gene therapies are. He can't. There's too many lawsuits going on right now. You might not have heard this, but about 10 days ago, a judge ordered emails between Dr. Fraudy and social media, as well as Karine Jean-Pierre and social media. So they have 21 days that the court ordered them to produce some emails.
Well, we can't let that happen. Gotta distract from that.
That did make the nationwide news, so it's not like it's just one small court somewhere. This will be a big deal.
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens.
All I can say is I'm glad that there's somebody who's willing to call out these people, even if it's not, it doesn't have the full effect. At least it gives me hope. We'll put it that way. It gives me hope. And that's all I need, somehow to know that something is being recognized for what it is. And there's been so much propaganda, so many lies, so much ridiculousness, especially since 2020. Of course, it was going on before that, for sure. But 2020 just magnified it. And I don't know how many people can say that they were aware of how deep the corruption goes until 2020 came around.
I understand, and we haven't even scratched the surface. But unfortunately,
right,
this is it for you and I until we meet up on Saturday. So I need to make sure you have my wife's phone number still, and we'll talk before Saturday. But thank you for being here. And everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail and keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative. I am...